All right, happy Veterans Day Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say it, everybody in the chat. JGCK is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Mr. Cool Dude is on. Wait Away is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Guitar Glenn is on. K4 VMS is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Wait Away. I already said him. Wait Away is on. Let's see. Hefner is on. Snod.311 is on. Naz Yeager is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Jules, 21 Hours is on. Hefner is on. Barn Evil is on. Robin Aroni is on. Let me see. USA Abbey Girl is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Granite 24 68 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Sheila K is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Les Cruz Brown is on. Forager for Life is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. The great T1AU is on. D9597 is on. Simple 73 is on. LA106 Times is on. Let me see. Day Now 59 is on. Jeannie Malfizi is on. Drummond for Jesus is on. Biggie 926 is on. Let me see. Grab a couple more here. Steph Toms is on. Peg McGroin is on. N Johns 127 is on. Kansas Law Dog is on. Total G Word is on. Ian Mark FB is on. Let me see here. Grab a couple more. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Grab one or two. Ambully is on. Maligator is on. Let me grab one or two more. KY or maybe Kentucky Lady 457 is on. Let me see here. Laura Jean Lynn is on. Jim Brody's on. Grab one more. Patriot of the North is on. Let's see. Chemical Toilet is on. And Charlie 340's on. I love you guys. Just a couple things off of the pregame that I just have to talk about. The last video, speaking of, because it's Veterans Day, you had Joe Biden calling active duty forces at the time, stupid bastards. And that right there was the epitome of the globalist left, which is epitomized, of course, in the Democratic Party here in the United States. Whenever I say globalist left, believe me, I'm not just talking about overseas. Globalist left are the leftists. They are the 2025 iteration of the Nazi Party. The globalists. That's what Hitler was a globalist. But anyway, that video was the absolute epitome of a Democrat, where you already know it's on video what you said. You're on a stage with Donald Trump, the greatest debater probably ever in presidential politics, and you know that the video is already out there. Or his staff knows, or the people that are talking to him in his earpiece know. And yet you say, play the tape. When Donald Trump accused him, you called our military stupid bastards. And he goes, no, I never said that. I mean, imagine knowing that you said it and that it's on tape. And you just, from a podium with millions upon tens of millions of people watching you, you say that you didn't. That'd be like me saying, I never told anybody to shove things up their caboose. I mean, it's on tape. There's hundreds of videos of me telling people to cram their vaccines, cram their masks and everything up their caboose. I know it's out there. First of all, I wouldn't lie anyway. But second of all, especially if I knew it was on tape, I wouldn't deny it. And he just played the tape. I mean, it's right. He knows it. These people are so disconnected from honesty and integrity and the truth that it never registers in them. It doesn't even register in the moment. That they are just bold-faced lying because they consider themselves to be so virtuous that whenever they are bold-faced lying, it's for a righteous cause. That's what they honestly believe. Another couple of things. Just yet, Scott Jennings versus, just so you know, on Abby Phillips' show on CNN. That was Michael Douglas, the actor's son that he absolutely destroyed. And then Michael Douglas, you know, these guys, they try to come in. They try to, you know, they're so full of virtue. And I guarantee you, this kid has never given a dime to charity. He never gives his time, talents, or anything else to charity. But yet, he wants to make sure the government gives our money to charity. But anyway, so he's going, and it is, that's all SNAP is just charity, absolutely wasted, by the way. 42. You're like, Tom, you've already talked about it twice. I know. 42 million people on SNAP benefits. 42 million Americans need food assistance. 42 million? If you believe the census, we have 330 million people live here. I don't believe that. I believe we have more like 400 million. But let's just pretend the government's right about something. There's 330 million people. I mean, think about it. 42 million, that means that 42 million out of 330 million are on food assistance. 42 million people. That's women, children, families, grandparents, everything. But anyway, so they go out, the Michael Douglas' son goes, who turned off SNAP benefits? And Scott Jennings rightfully replies, no one. 15 times. By the way, everybody, if you watch this podcast regularly, you already know where I stand on the big, beautiful bill. SNAP benefits should have been permanently cut anyway. You need to have the balls to do it. 42 million people. Out of the 42 million people that actually need SNAP, it's maybe 500,000. Maybe. That actually need it for physical incapacity. That's it. If that. And it's probably more like 100,000 to 150,000. But anyway, he says, no, Republicans voted 15 straight times to finance SNAP benefits. 15 times, because it was just a continuing CR at a debt and deficit level of $2.3 trillion. It certainly wasn't that anybody was being conservative. But imagine, again, the Democrats' argument. It's on tape that you voted against funding SNAP benefits 15 straight times while you argued that Republicans weren't funding it. I mean, it's just the epitome of the Democratic Party. And then they win these elections. And again, they're all rejoicing in this blue wave that occurred last Tuesday, a week ago. Blue wave that they won the gubernatorial elections and mayorship. They won the mayor of New York. The last two mayors were Eric Adams and Bill de Blasio. It was Bloomberg, for all intents and purposes, before that, who's a Democrat. And then Zohran Mamdouhi. It's a blue wave. And then win the gubernatorial election in Virginia. We've had like one, I was going to say conservative, but Glenn Youngkin's not. He's a backstabbing Judas. But anyway, we had one Republican Virginia governor in Virginia that I can remember, and that was Glenn Youngkin. And they both spurned Donald Trump, spurned his endorsement, and spurned him helping them in any way, shape, or form. So they lost by 11 points. People who actually wanted Trump's help lost by one point. But anyway, so they're rejoicing. They won the gubernatorial race in New Jersey. When was the last time there was a Republican who was the governor of New Jersey? I mean, it was Chris Christie, I guess. Mm-hmm. But how long ago was that? And again, he's not really a right winger. So anyway, they're all happy about that. But this just shows you it's on tape, them voting against it 15 times. And then I love the interchange between Scott Bessent and the host on MSNBC, where he goes, and by the way, I want to apologize because I called it a bailout too, and I was wrong. As I said, it was a bailout. That Trump sent $20 billion. I actually said it was $64 billion. I was totally wrong on everything. Everybody see how that works? I was wrong. You see how that is? People don't do that. Even, you know, the COVID-caving pastors and politicians who bent over, took vaccines, enforced COVID laws, closed their businesses, closed their churches, and bent over. This is how it works. You come out and you say, oh, you were wrong. Well, I didn't know. It was my own ignorance that it was not a bailout. He didn't send them cash. He set up a interest-bearing account. That's what he did. So it's basically like the account that you have that when you're building a house. You get an account set aside by the bank if you get a mortgage, and it's a construction account. And you, everything you pull out of that account, you have an interest rate attached to it. That's what they got. It's called a swap long. So there you have another Democrat who's allegedly a financial expert. Unlike me, I'm a financial dope. But this is a financial expert who had to be told on national TV in front of their dozens of viewers on MSNBC, and has to be told, have you ever heard of what a swap long is? And then he goes, yeah, it's a cash exchange. Well, yeah, but what is it specifically? Well, you're the financial expert. Why don't you tell us? You called it a bailout. Then why don't you tell us? And it wasn't. It's simply an interest-bearing account that you and I are making money on. So it was not a shot to our cattle ranchers or anything else. It was just a loan to Javier Milei. That's what it is, interest-bearing loan. And then the last thing I want to say, well, maybe the second last thing. Maybe I should have put all these on the regular show, but I love the Kamala tour that's going on right now, where she's going to all these different low-end podcasts. I mean, and I don't have a lot of viewers either. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to bash somebody's podcast, but I'm just saying that she's going to all these, because she's gone on the quote-unquote mainstream media, which have no viewers, by the way. I mean, really, CNN literally has 89,000 people watching. If you go on the midday to Alex Jones, 250,000 people watching his show live on Twitter alone. That's not his radio stations and his TV affiliates and everything else. And all the other, whatever, Rumble and whatever social media platforms he's on. So they have, and Joe Rogan's the same way. the number one political app on the planet is now Alex Jones. But anyway, so she's on this tour and she's talking about how she played 3D chess and that she wouldn't fall for Trump, any of Trump's games. Don't you say that when you win? See, no social norms apply to these people. Play the tape, says Biden, of me calling them stupid bastards. Oh, there it is. You said it. You know you said it. You know you're on tape saying it. No social norm, because you and I would go, don't play the tape. We would just go, yeah, I misspoke, and whatever. So, I mean, she's on this tour selling a book nobody's buying. It's called 107 Days. Who would ever buy that book? Now, she got front money to write it, and that, you know who paid for that? NGOs. Guarantee it. It's NGOs that ended up paying for it. And the last thing that I'll talk about here is the NYC protesters. They're talking about how great it is that 2,500 cops resigned from NYPD this year in 2025. By the way, it gets bigger next year. I think they're projecting over 5,000 resignations next year for NYPD. And they're rejoicing at this. They're rejoicing while the person, see if I say it right, Aaron, wears her keffiyeh,
yeah,
her Muslim scarf, a white girl wearing her Muslim scarf. But anyway, so they're rejoicing in the very fact that now there's less law enforcement. And then no more Christmas. Congratulations, NYC. Home of Home Alone and all the great Christmas movies. Congratulations. As the keffiyeh-wearing leftard women, all white women, celebrate cops resigning and canceling Christmas. Isn't that great? All right, so let me get right to this one. So percolating, now if you watched Kyle Serafin on Alex Jones, it was a very much a controlled interview in that Kyle Serafin, former FBI agent, at odds, pretty heavily at odds with Kash Patel, held back on the information that he would release because it was somebody else's story, and I would give credit where credit is due on that, but I can't remember the other person's story. But allegedly, you have this, and Aaron, if you have better verbiage, just jump right in. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and talk over me. But they have this gate technology now that actually reads people's gait. Like, I walk like a gorilla. If you ever watch me walk around, I literally walk like a gorilla, like I'm heading towards to go climb the Empire State Building in King Kong 4. Okay? So, like, my gait, I mean, I have a gait. Everybody has a gait. Mm-hmm. And now with this technology, it just outlines your whole gait, reads it, and basically it is, and is all this good? No, it's all part of leveraging into a one-word commerce system, a single access point controlled by them. But anyway, but it reads your gait, and it basically you're the only one on the planet that has that gait. So this technology has now been applied via independent reporters to the J6 bomber. Now remember, if the J6 bomber who planted the egg timer bomb set to 20 minutes to go off 12 hours later, Tom, make that make sense? Can't. You just have to be an idiot. But we just saw it a minute ago. Kamala's doing a tour selling books that nobody's buying, claiming that she won when she didn't. Okay, so I mean, there's no logic here. And these people are not smart. They're just full of zeal for being a globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitist. So this gate technology has been applied to this alleged, you can go, he's actually side by side, this alleged suspect here who now works for the CIA police department. Probably didn't know the CIA had a police department. They do. Secret Service has their own police department too. Just like Congress and the Senate have their Capitol Hill Police Department with 2,700 police officers for a 2 miles area, 2 miles square area, a 2 square mile area. 2,700 cops. How many do you have in your town? I can fly it out. Detroit has 700 cops for all of Detroit. Seattle has between 700 and 800 cops. But in D.C., for a 2 square mile area, 2,700 cops. So she's now working for the CIA police department now. But at the time, she was working for D.C. Metro Police Department. Weird, isn't it? So this technology has been applied to her. When this story breaks, if this story never breaks, it's a giant cover-up. But when the story breaks, it absolutely blows apart every single narrative from the left on J6. And Trump is now suing, hopefully I'll get to it tonight, the BBC for altering and editing that tape, claiming, putting the two pieces of the same speech together from 52 minutes apart. I forgot what the verbiage would be when you put it together. Like splice it together. Cut and paste it, whatever. Splice it together. And he's suing them for $4 billion. $4 billion. And demanding he's going to win. And this alone, this bomber thing, gets shown to be, we all already know what it is. It's absolutely a lie. Nobody puts out egg timer bombs in the digital age, for one thing. And then all the timing doesn't make any sense. The FBI was already caught editing tapes, speaking of tapes, where it never actually shows the person placing the bomb, just like we're not allowed to see Tyler Robinson taking the shot. Tyler Robinson's running off the roof, but the same camera would show him taking the shot. The same camera that shows her walking up to the bench would show her taking, would show her planting the bomb, but that part was edited because the angle's right there. It would show her take, if this was the bomb right here, show her placing the bomb. But they cut that part and then went to another angle immediately. Weird. I mean, everyone just, it's actually frustrating to me because I can't get it out the way that I want to. I want everybody to understand the level of demonic corruption running this country. In the Congress, in the Senate, Ro Khanna, we showed it last night, worth $500 million. He's making 17 stock transactions per day and an average of $16,000 per. Explain that to me. Do you understand that all our country is about right now is enriching swamp Republicans and Democrats? That's it, mainly Democrats. That's really it. And then all these things like J6 is the cover for their own malfeasance. And they will, even though they themselves are the hucksters and the fraudsters and the murderers, they will send you to prison for crimes that don't even exist. All right, so Michael Video, this is that gate technology being applied to the suspect. Play for me.
Former Capitol Police Officer Shawnee Ray Kirkhoff has been identified as a forensic match to the elusive January 6th pipe bomber, exposing what many are calling the ultimate deep state cover-up. According to investigative reporting from Blaze Media, advanced gate analysis software produced a staggering 94-98% match between Kirkhoff's movements and the hooded suspect captured on surveillance footage planting explosive devices near the DNC and RNC headquarters on January 5, 2021. This former officer, who testified against January 6 defendants and now reportedly works in CIA security, embodies the corrupt networks that weaponized chaos to undermine Trump's America First agenda. This discovery shatters the narrative peddled by the mainstream media and Democrat-led committees that painted peaceful patriots as insurrectionists. The silence from legacy media outlets is deafening, fueling accusations that this was all part of a coordinated psyop to smear Trump and his millions of loyal voters. Sources close to the investigation highlight Kirkhoff's proximity to key events, including her role in the Capitol's civil disturbance unit on that fateful day, and early Google searches for her name in the DC area just days after the incident, suggesting insiders knew and buried the truth. Trump, who has repeatedly called January 6th a hoax orchestrated by the FBI and Pelosi's allies, now stands taller than ever as this evidence emerges amid his triumphant return to power. Patriots are urged to share this far and wide, bypassing the complicit press to ensure the real culprits face justice and prevent future setups against the MAGA movement. This wasn't a lone actor, but a web of handlers and operatives inflicting psychological warfare on the American public, shattering lives and dividing the nation. With Kirkhoff's involvement thrust into the light, every connected individual, from FBI brass to Capitol insiders, must be exposed, indicted, and tried. Trump's vision of a secure, sovereign America demands nothing less, turning the tables on those who sought to destroy him and restoring faith in a government truly by and for the people. Follow a Newsmax.baby on Jonathan Gregor.
There you go. So, and that's what we were talking about last night. The courage, what I call giant balls or giant nuts last night, you have got to have the courage to go after this woman and everybody orchestrated. By the way, it's absolutely blatantly obvious that it was a setup. There's these guys, of course, they blew up the bombs, who really, they had no, I guarantee you, they had no TNT attached to them. No TNT. They had egg timers in the digital age. These are obviously training bombs or somebody just threw together. And now this Kirkhoff needs to be brought in. And everybody who perpetrated this hoax, whether it's the J6 committee, whether it's any FBI official, CIA official, NGO, cutout, State Department, CIA, whatever it is, whoever it is, they all need to go to federal prison. There is no more, well, we need to protect our country by not prosecuting political figures, by not prosecuting law enforcement figures. If deputy sheriffs get prosecuted, then deputy directors of the CIA and FBI need to be prosecuted. Directors of this, listen, in order for this to have taken place, FBI Director Christopher Wray has to be involved in it. He has to be involved in it. As well as the hoax itself. This is the launch of the J6 hoax. Everything that happened on J6 with a few exceptions of some numbskulls committing misdemeanors, not felonies, that ended up spending 3 years in prison for a $500 fine offense. And that's really the extent of what happened by any J6 defendant. The most that they did was vandalism. And really, most of the time, trust me, I know, 25 years in law enforcement, nobody goes to jail, let alone prison, for vandalism. It just doesn't happen. You get unless it was connected to a more serious felonious crime. That wasn't what? Unlawful prating, you're in the D.C. gulag for 3 years. Knowingly trespass, when you unknowingly trespass, that was all instigated by Matthew Graves, the D.C. District Attorney at the time, U.S. Attorney at the time. But anyway, Matthew Graves needs to go to federal prison for the rest of his life. Judge Shutkin needs to go to prison for the rest of her life. They all know it's a hoax. They knew that they were sentencing people that should have gotten a $500 fine. I'm telling you, the worst J6 offender that there is didn't commit an offense that would have been more than a year in a county jail. And really 99.9% of them committed offenses that either weren't offenses at all, didn't knowingly commit any offense, were entrapped into that offense, i.e. Matthew Graves, where he said he charged a lot of people with knowingly trespassing after they took down the gates. How do you know you're knowingly trespassing without a trespass sign or some sort of curtilage? You may explain that to me, but they charge people with that anyway. Matthew Graves needs to go to federal prison for the rest of his life. I'm not. They didn't just cause these people a mild inconvenience. They sentenced these people, Enrique Terrio, who wasn't even in D.C., to 22 years in federal prison. These people are not messing around. They are immoral, repulsive, evil, demonic human beings who sleep like babies at night, sleeping with their trans lovers while they sent somebody to prison. A person who either shouldn't have gone to, wasn't even guilty of any offense whatsoever, or should have gotten a much lighter sentence. They don't care. And you have these judges and juries that are complicit in all of this too. They know the person's innocent. You had prosecutors on J6 refusing to release exculpatory video evidence because it was a threat to national security. So in other words, you had J6 defendants on video being exonerated. They weren't even in the area of the alleged offense they committed. But they weren't allowed to show the exculpatory video because it would show Nancy Pelosi's hidden getaway. So it's better for somebody to go to prison for 5, 10, 15 years for a crime that doesn't exist and that they didn't commit than Nancy Pelosi's hidden escape route be exposed, because they're just so far above all the rest of us. So anyway, now we know it. I mean, hopefully this continues on. This is Carl Serafin's behind this. Alex Jones is behind this, and they are rarely, if ever, wrong. All right, change the subjects. Sorry, 9:33. I can't believe sorry, 9:33. And I promised the guys short show tonight, so short show. But anyway, hopefully this technology is actually used by law enforcement. This woman's brought in. Put her on a polygraph, make her take a polygraph to keep her job. She's working for the federal government. So she can be put on a polygraph. You can't use it for evidentiary reasons, but you can use it for employment reasons. Put her on there. Is that you? Think she's going to be able to lie her way out of that? Obviously a bull dyke lesbian that she is. You think she'll be able to lie her way out of it? I don't think so. All right, let's go change the subject. Let's go to the shutdown here. We all know about the 8 Democrats that crossed the aisle, right? And we talked about this last night. Now, why did they cross the aisle? You know, did they decide, you know what, we want to fund SNAP? It has to be altruistic reasons, right? Benevolent reasons, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, it's always.
I mean,
it's
they're, the Democrats. They're always thinking of the little guy, like Ro Khanna making 17 stock transactions a day at $16,000 a piece, now worth $500 million.
That's for the people.
It's for the people. Yeah. It's for the people. I mean, I'm sure he gives a lot of that away. Zero.
All of it.
Yeah, he just gives none of it away. But he's for the people. Yeah. You know, Nancy Pelosi's worth $300 million too. But anyway, so why did this actually happen? Carl Higbee here on Newsmax. Let's run through the Democrats and who broke rank. Play for me.
But the crossover vote was not just senators coming to their senses to, you know, help American families, as they've been insinuating the whole time. No. This was very calculated. Have senators who are either not running for re-election, not up for it this term, or senators that are in safe seats crossing over to open the government. So the other 40 Democrats, those senators, can cry about this indefinitely and continue to beat the partisan anti-Trump drum for their base. Don't believe me? Listen.
Tonight, 8 Democrats voted with the Republicans to allow them to go forward on this continuing resolution. And to my mind, this was a very, very bad vote.
Ah, yes. This is actually how ridiculous Washington, D.C. it works. But if you still doubt me, check this out. Come on. All right. So let's run through the Democrats and who broke rank and how careful the Democrat machine was to pick who voted yes for all this kabuki theater. How about Dick Durbin? He's from Illinois, okay? So he's retiring in 2026, so he's an easy sacrificial vote because he's not running again. But this allows the next person to run in Illinois to slide even further left because now they can rail on Dick Durbin not holding the anti-Trump line in the midterms. And also, Illinois went 16 points for Durbin in the last election. Basically, no shot a Republican wins there in the next one. So the next person will be even further left. Mark that, okay? Jeanine Shaheen of New Hampshire. She's also retiring next year, but just to make my point about how this is all a game of politics, she was the original sponsor of the ACA, the Affordable Care Act subsidy enhancements, that she just caved to the CR without them. You see how disingenuous these people are? New Hampshire also swung 15 points her way. So another relatively safe seat for the next Democrat in line in the midterms. But which is why they allowed Maggie Hassan, also from New Hampshire, to vote for this as well. Won her last election by 10 points and not up for re-election until 2028. Tim Kaine from Virginia, he also just won re-election, so it's not up for another 5 years. In a seat, which he also won by almost 10 points, another safe vote from a guy who was just out there saying that it was really bad to compromise. What changed? Angus King, a independent from Maine who won his last election by more than 16 points, also not up again until 2030. All right, so this is this kind of stuff that they're banking on you and I actually not knowing anything about and not telling us, obviously, too, because it makes them look bad.
Really, the only principal stand in that group is Fetterman, and this Fetterman vacillates back and forth. Sometimes he says good stuff, sometimes he doesn't. But he made a principal stand from day one, so there's really no criticizing him on this particular subject matter. But you go Tricky Dicky Durbin. Why would he make this virtuous vote all of a sudden? Why would he cross? You know, he's going to throw himself on a sword to fund everybody buying soda and toaster strudels. Because that's all giant fat women buying Snap things. That's all it is. You know, Tom, you're overly simplistic. Am I really? Find me a video. Find me any video of thin people on Snap. I haven't found one yet. Not one. They're all fat women. And I'm sure there's thin men. I'm sure there's some thin women, whatever. But and you look at what they buy every time. And they post it proudly. But so, Tricky Dicky Durbin. Aaron, how's the Epstein flight log looking?
Let me see. Hang on.
He's looking. Has it come out yet? Because now it's in Thune's hands. Okay, nope. Thune doesn't release it. And Tricky Dicky didn't release it for 4 long years. Yeah. Weird, isn't it? And now he's saying that Trump is the one that is suppressing the Epstein information. Okay, but he himself won't release the flight logs. That's how disgusting. I'm not going to call them our leadership because our leadership is the Constitution. But that's how disgusting Washington, D.C. is. And Durbin's like, oh, I'm going to go out there. You know what? I know it's going to cost me politically, even though I'm retiring. So I'm going to go out and vote to fund SNAP for all the little people out there as the multimillionaire that I am. But he's retiring, so it costs him nothing. Jeanine Shaheen says the same thing, but she's retiring. Kaine says the same thing, but he just won, doesn't even have to run for re-election until 2030. And Angus King, the exact same thing. So they're just disingenuous, virtueless people. evil, nasty, repulsive people. And what they did was they had them, they closed ranks, they had themselves a little powwow, and they said, you know what, who can we send out there to go ahead and vote for this thing? And as I predicted, now it didn't happen the week of the election, but it happened the Monday, the Sunday just after the election is when the eight came forward. So literally 5 days after the election last Tuesday, these five more Democrats, they had three and five more came forward and they said, you know what, we're going to vote for the continuing CR with these promises that Trump will rehire the federal workers. Yeah, we really need to rehire people. One with $38 trillion in debt. That's really should be priority one, is to hire more people so that we can go further and further into debt. That's how idiotic these people are. They're stupid people. I cannot listen. One thing I can't stand is, literally a giant pet peeve of mine is to revere stupid human beings as if they're smart, because they are not. They just powwowed and they said, who wants to be a sacrificial lamb? Here's your prompt. Here are your financial guarantees if you will go out and take the shot. And they all know that Bernie Sanders and Ro Khanna are worth $500 million. It's illegal stock trades every day, I'm sure. Legal, they're legal technically, but illegal for everybody else, insider trading. But anyway, as he oversees the military industrial complex and he's on the Congressional Ethics Board and Oversight Board. But anyway, and he's making illegal stock trades every day. But anyway, I digress. So they went out and they all know that, you know, you're going to have Hakeem Jeffries come out and badmouth you, and AOC is going to badmouth you. They know that, but they got promises made to them. So they went out and it cost all of them absolutely nothing, because either they don't have to run any time in the next 5 years or they're retiring. That's how disgusting these people are. All right, let's go on. Adam Hughes video. UK, huge, this is devastating right here. Devastating news. UK, British intelligence halts intelligence sharing with the Trump administration. Oh no. How will we live without corrupt, nasty, Mossad infiltrated MI6, MI5? Not sharing intel with us? Oh, how will we live without an island nation with 25 million people on it who can't defend themselves? How will we make it without the other Five Eyes countries? No offense, Joe. But I mean, what will we do without Canadian intel? I mean, that's so vital to the United States security interests, as well as the UK and New Zealand and Australia, the Five Eyes countries. I mean, how will we ever survive without them? All of which have no military. None. You ever watched the Canadian military parade? I invite you to do so. Because I just watched one out of the UK and they're identical. You know what they are? Get ready. Fat women. Fat women with rainbow flags. That's it.
Shocker.
Giant fat women bouncing around right next to effeminate fat men. Does anybody ever lift a weight anymore in the military in these countries? No, what they do is default to the United States to defend them until Trump comes along and actually makes them pay into the UN for their defense, for once. Makes them pay into NATO for their defense, for once. Now, lo and behold, they're doing it. Weird, isn't it? But it's always amazing to me. All these people are so offended by tariffs. Tariffs levied on the United States don't bother them at all. It's only when we actually levy tariffs on other nations, suddenly they're really bothered by that. It's the same thing with foreign militaries. They don't pay a thing, not a thing, into their own defense, and nobody's bothered by it in the United States. As we go $38 trillion in debt, when the big beautiful bill rounds out next year, we will be just under $41 trillion in debt, and that's a Republican spending bill. And as Aaron always says, I'm just going to learn to quote Aaron, aren't you glad we won? Because we went from $37 trillion when Trump took office, and 1 year later, we're going to be just under $41 trillion in debt. 1 year from now. Yeah, that's it. Aren't you glad we won? And I think Trump is great, but he has not conquered the spending yet. And, you know, the least sexy thing is what will come and get you in global politics. But anyway, so British UK, Adam Hughes video. UK, British intelligence halts intelligence sharing with the Trump administration after US forces strike drug running boats. Play it for me.
Exclusive. Now coming into the Situation Room, watch this. The United Kingdom is suspending some of its intelligence sharing with the US because of the Trump administration's strikes against alleged drug boats in the Caribbean.
We are joined now by senior White House reporter Kevin Liptak and CNN national security correspondent Natasha Bertrand. Natasha, to you first with this exclusive reporting. I mean, this is a big deal. The UK is arguably the closest ally to the United States when it comes to intelligence sharing. What else do we know?
Yeah, Pam, it's a really significant rupture here. Essentially, what we're learning is that the UK is no longer sharing intelligence with the US about these suspected drug trafficking vessels in the Caribbean because it does not want to be complicit in the US military's strikes on these drug vessels and believes fundamentally that the US military's use of force against these vessels violates international law, according to multiple sources that we spoke to. Now, previously, the UK had been happy to help the United States locate and interdict vessels that were transiting the Caribbean that appeared to be trafficking drugs. But the key difference, of course, is that it was helping the Coast Guard intercept those vessels, arrest those on board, seize the drugs, and allowing these individuals to have some semblance of due process. But now the U.S., of course, has started striking these boats unilaterally with military force, killing everyone on board. The total now for number of people killed is around 76. And we're told that the UK is deeply uncomfortable with that, and they believe that it is pretty blatantly illegal. Now, it is unclear exactly how long this intelligence sharing suspension is going to last, but we're told that it has been going on for well over a month now, essentially since the US began its bombing campaign, and it really underscores the continued questions surrounding the legality of this U.S. military campaign, which, of course, the U.S. Government, the Trump administration, has insisted is part of an armed conflict that it is waging against cartel members and criminal organizations. But much of the international community, as well as legal experts inside the U.S., do not see it that way.
Now, I know this is my pulpit and I know this is my soapbox, but here's the Aaron. You can just run that side by side. Just mute it. I know I had you add sound to it, but just mute it. But anyway, imagine being a Democrat and you have to say this is an alleged drug boat. And you have to live a life of such disingenuousness. What else could that be but a drug boat? I mean, this is a speed boat going through the Caribbean or the Gulf of America. What else could that be? And you're on CNN. You are such a disgusting, repulsive human being that you're going to actually run the Democratic Party line of allegedly a drug boat? How could that be anything else but a drug boat? There's no other way. Think about how, I mean, you're on there and you begin this. And I talk about this stuff all the time. It absolutely blows my mind. It really does blow my mind. How, I guarantee you that woman has children. And how do you look at them every day? How do you play with them? How do you take them to school? How do you teach them morals and ethics when you lie and propagate in Goebbels for a living? I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. I'd hate myself. Absolutely would hate myself. What else could that be? Explain that. What? Tell me what that would be. Fishing boat? Cabin cruiser? The ones that go underwater that are almost fully submarines? I'm just curious. What exactly is that? I mean, what motive would there be to have four engines on the back and go 90 miles an hour over the ocean? Across the ocean. I'm just curious.
Camouflaged.
Yeah, with blue. I mean, it's blue or, yeah, apropos colors. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. Lips of TikTok video. Illinois Speaker of the House, speaking of migrants, Illinois Speaker of the House, Chris Welch, demands that people stop calling illegal aliens and compares it to slavery. This is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Play for him.
And by answering that question with telling you I don't believe anyone is an illegal alien. That's a terrible term to use about anyone.
It's a legal term.
It's not a legal term. They used to call black people slaves legally. And it was wrong. Let's stop dehumanizing people. Let's start treating people right.
All right, so let's look at what he said. First of all, he says that he doesn't consider anybody to be an illegal alien. Okay, so if an illegal alien stole his car, that person wouldn't be considered to be an illegal alien, let alone, and we could get into, I don't like to do that. If he victimized his own wife or daughter, I guess they wouldn't be an illegal alien. No, but he's behind walls and guns that he doesn't want Americans to have. So he's right away, this is what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. You do not live in any sort of realm of reality. You live in virtue signaling delusion. I don't believe anybody's an illegal alien. Really? So, if nobody's an illegal alien, then the horrifying, the worst of the worst, right? Russia. Because Russia can just walk into our country, right? Nobody's illegal. So anybody can invade our country then. A foreign military force would not be illegal then. Remember, Aaron?
Yeah.
Nobody's an illegal alien, right?
Right.
So anybody can just walk into our country then. Imagine, and then the idiots applaud it. Then he ends up deflecting. I consider it to be slavery. You consider slavery to be okay. It's classic Democratic deflection of where you're talking about a very specific subject matter, and then they deflect it to some sort of moral outrage subject matter. Like, are you saying that slavery's okay? Were we even talking about slavery? We're talking about illegal aliens, and now you equated it to slavery. And by me still sticking to my guns and saying they're illegal, now you're saying that I'm saying that slavery's okay? That's the game that they always play. And then he says, this is the Illinois Speaker of the House under J.B. Pritzker, Fat Boy Pritzker. This guy actually gets elected, and he's this stupid that he claims that nobody's illegal, which is a lie and not true and not legally true. Then he claims that the word illegal alien is not a legal term. It is, just like you've heard. I love the Don Lemon interview on the street where he says being an illegal alien is not a crime. It's a misdemeanor. That's how stupid people are. Misdemeanor is a crime. First of all, it's not a misdemeanor. It's actually a felony. But anyway, even if it was, it's a crime. Misdemeanors, everybody has heard of petty theft or vandalism. It depends. Theft becomes a felony in the state of Florida over $300. Vandalism becomes a felony in the state of Florida over $1,000. But otherwise, they're misdemeanors, but they're still crimes. So I guess I could throw a rock through your window and it did $700 worth of damage, but it's not a crime, according to Don Lemon, because it's a misdemeanor.
Right.
See how that works? That's what it means to be a Democrat. You have to be that delusional and stupid like Chris Welch. And he actually says, he speaks of things he has no idea about. That's not a legal term. Are you a lawyer? Are you a judge? Are you a police officer? Have you ever filled out a probable cause affidavit? Have you ever looked at a statute book in the state of Illinois? Just curious, because you have no idea what you're talking about, because illegal alien is in every single statute book in the United States of America. Simple as that. It doesn't mean that if you happen to be watching this right now and you're a Democrat, you're happy with these morons representing you. And here's the true cost. Now, Chrissy Welch says there's no such thing as an illegal alien. I wonder if he would apply that if this person in this story was his wife or his daughter. Michael McCarthy video, another young woman's life destroyed. Play for me.
Over a week ago, this happened in Spain. A young female university student was returning home from an event. She was intercepted where an assault took place in or near an illegal encampment along the River Arga. She was gang raped by four Algerian men. Passersby found her at 10 p.m. semi-conscious, disorientated, covered in leaves, on a footpath, missing her underwear, bag, phone, and purse. She was taken to the University Hospital in Navarra for medical and psychological care, where hospital reports indicated non-consensual sex. The four suspects, all Algerian men aged 25 to 36, are described as North African Maghrebi migrants. They were arrested on October 28th. They had been living in tents at the encampment, lacked fixed addresses, and at least three of them had prior unexecuted deportation orders. Already, one had a non-sex-related criminal record. The victim's phone and underwear were recovered from their camp. How many girls are attacked across Europe by foreigners every day that we don't hear about? If someone wasn't videoing those girls getting robbed and attacked, we wouldn't hear about it. What we do most of the time hear about, but it's not out there, you have to go looking, is these horrific crimes where a girl would be returning home from an event and she'll be gang raped by four African men who shouldn't be in the country. Gang raped by them.
Just curious, I get, would Speaker of the House of the State of Illinois, Chris Welch, Would he say that those guys aren't illegal? They four Algerian men rape a girl, keep her underwear and phone, and three out of the four already have deportation orders, but there's no such thing as an illegal alien, and it's not even a legal term. I wonder if he'd feel that way if it was his own daughter, wife, or relative. See, again, these people, they never think anywhere beyond fake virtue. What, in the moment, how can I appear virtuous to my fellow Democrats? That's all they actually care about until it lands on their doorstep. Because who knows what the politics were of this woman who was raped in Spain? I wonder what her politics were. Were her parents open borders people? I wonder if they are now. What do you think about that, Aaron? Mm-hmm. Right? I wonder if, I mean, you think about it. Maybe they were the virtue signalers like Chris Welch. We don't believe in borders. We don't believe in building bigger walls. We believe in building bigger tables. For the Algerian rapist with a 70 IQ? Really, that just raped your daughter? Four men spent hours raping your daughter? I wonder if they're left-tard open borders people now. Nobody actually gives a crap until it lands on their own doorstep, except for people like you and I who have a brain and are going, this is what could happen if you open the borders to third world, low IQ, inbred morons. That's the problem right there. Let me show you another problem. Wall Street Mavs, still on open borders here. Major ICE raid, and of course, Tim Walz's Tampon Timmy, priority one for Tampon Timmy, is tampons in men's rooms. Major ICE raid in Minneapolis. Look how this went down. And I want everybody to assess what should law enforcement be able to do in situations like this. Play for them.
And hop out of the car, and this happened.
Don't fucking touch her. We have people here pushing the cops right here. And now they took them.
Fuck you!
Fucking protect us from these fucking FBI agents.
An ICE raid has taken place here in Minneapolis. The cops, SWAT team, FBI, whoever's out here has completely taken over the streets, and people have taken to the streets. I don't even know what has happened. I was literally driving, filming a completely separate video, and then I got out of the car because they had taken over this whole entire block. This is happening on the streets. You have the police right here. You have the police right behind me. Then you have the FBI. Then you have a huge group, another group. Then you have another group.
It goes on. You can get that at Wall Street Mav on Twitter and watch the whole thing. But it's like 6-minute video. But anyway, now a couple things on this. Now you have the local Minneapolis PD, which, and it was funny, Joe brought up last time they actually did something, they got in a lot of trouble. Yeah, that was George Floyd. But anyway, I want everybody to look at the tactics here. Let's break it down. First of all, from just a rudimentary level with, that was the FBI right there, obviously working somehow in conjunction with ICE and deportations there to protect ICE, whatever it is. Now, I can flat out tell you, I've been in a lot of police situations, been in a lot of physical confrontations with people. I was a cop for 25 years, 92 to 2017. And I told Joe and Aaron while we were watching this, man, these guys are so much more tolerant than I was and basically any cop I knew. That you touch me, it's on. Like, it's on. I don't push back. Like, you touch me, it's on. You're tased and I'm punching you right in the face and you're going down. Period. Back in the day with PR-24s, you're getting it. Ass baton, you're getting. I'm not going to sit there and play patty cake with you and your smelly, nasty body odor. No, you're going down. So you have that. I don't get the tolerance levels, and Trump needs to continue to reiterate. We actually need to write into statute. You know, right now, basically these agencies can write their own statutes, you know. So, and that shouldn't be, but it's how it's been for so many years. They need to write in a different use of force matrix. When they're surrounded like that, you can open fire. Your life's in danger right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to articulate it, but I'm just saying, you know what? There needs to be a lot more force on people like that. Now, the local cops in Minneapolis, you're going to sit there and allow other cops to be encircled by 100 people and not do anything? Whew. I'll tell you, man, I would never have sat there and watched other cops. I can't stand the FBI, but the bottom line is, if other cops are being surrounded and I'm a cop, I'm going in there. I'm going in there. And you're like, oh, you talk a big game. I don't talk in any game. I already did it. I've already been in scenarios like that. I've already done it. I'm not talking anything. I'm going in. I've gone into everything. I'm going in. That's the way that it is. But they don't stand there. How do you, again, as a cop, I mean, how do you go home and look at your son in the eye? You just stood there while other cops are being assaulted and you did nothing. I will never get it. So let's go back to Illinois. Midwest millennial video. Welcome to Sanctuary State of Illinois. That's where our little boy, Chrissy Welch, who says there's no such thing as illegal aliens, and it's not a legal term. Well, what do they do? Well, Midwest millennial video. Welcome to Sanctuary State of Illinois, where 4,000 whistle kits, were assembled to help illegal aliens run from ICE. Play for me.
Day of action.
Rather than sit around and complain, just try to get up and get involved, feel like I'm playing a small role in changing what's going on in the streets of Chicago.
Northside residents huddled in this small space for a small act they hope will make a big impact.
Like, why not? Like, why not try something? I think there's multiple approaches that somebody can do to try to be effective, and why not do something that is within reach and see what happens.
The organization Indivisible Chicago hosted Pack and Protect events across the city. Volunteers put together kits. Each included a Know Your Rights card and whistle. The plastic whistles have become a resistance tool against Operation Midway Blitz to alert undocumented immigrants of the presence of ICE and Border Patrol and to encourage citizens to show up with phone cameras rolling.
It's loud, it gets the word out, it lets people know that there's something happening in their community. It's very personal what's happened here for everyone in Chicago, and so a lot of groups are looking for ways that they can fight back.
At the end of the day, 4,000 whistle kits were assembled and handed out to residents and businesses.
Little things go a long way. You can't eat the pizza in one bite. You gotta eat it in some small bites, and once you're done, you've eaten the whole thing, so changes in small increments.
So here you have a bunch of effeminate men and smelly women assembling these whistle kits, which, by the way, if you alert an illegal or a criminal, which is the same thing, because they're actually called an illegal, imagine that, just go around and call people criminals. They're illegals, they're criminals. And you alert them to ISIS presence, that is a crime. Arrest these people. Can't arrest them for making the kits, but you can certainly arrest them for blowing on that whistle or alerting an illegal. And they all need to go to prison for obstructing a federal agent. It's a felony. They need to go to prison. That's it. If any of these kits can be traced back to that are used to obstruct a federal official, they need to go back to Indivisible Chicago. And by the way, I want to congratulate Joe, Aaron, myself, and you, because we all paid for this. As I guarantee you, Indivisible Chicago, it's funded by an NGO that you and I paid for. And it got paid for by the Big Beautiful Bill, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. And as Aaron says, aren't you glad we won? But speaking of winning, here's the positive side of Trump, which, by the way, 80, 90, 95% of what Trump does is positive. Go to the next one for me. Lives with TikTok. Here's the stats coming off from the border. I want a little different from Joe Biden. Would everybody agree? Breaking for the 6 month in a row, lives with TikTok tweet. In a row, not a single illegal was released into our country. None May, none June, none July, none August, none September, none October. And can we all guess what this month's going to be? Now that is a great freaking job. Not one released into our country. Biden was releasing thousands of, really, somewhere between 5 and 15,000 a day. Trump is zero for the month. That, again, you're like, more came across than what Biden was releasing. Yeah, yeah. But releasing was 5 to 15,000 a day. he was releasing in a very porous border. So there's a lot more getaways, and there was a lot more people just simply crossing that don't even qualify as getaways because nobody ever saw them to begin with. Not anymore. Zero released into our country by the federal government. How can you be a Democrat? I mean, Democrats, they're instead of closing the border and preventing rapes and robberies and DUI homicides and these CDL homicides, traffic homicides that we're seeing, instead of stopping that and people dying and people being raped, including other Democrats, what are they doing? They're building 4,000 whistle kits. Hey, how can we help our fellow man? Let's assemble whistle kits on our Saturdays with a bunch of effeminate men and smelly women. No, thank you. All right, let's go to this one. Let's switch the subjects. Shadow of Ezra video. Aaron, I want you to know this is great news. Pfizer CEO, Albert Bourla, has announced that the company will launch a new once-a-month shot.
Oh.
Designated to address America's obesity problem.
Goody.
Okay, now, before we even show this, I want to, once again, teach people how not to be fat. Now, again, I know how to lose weight. I've lost the same 40 pounds 41 times now. So I get it. I understand. Okay, you know how you lose weight? You don't take, you side by side, you don't take Albert's shot. You don't listen to Albert, okay? What you do, if you want to lose weight, if you got you know, a fat belly or whatever, and I spend a lot of time with a fat belly, you know what I do to lose it? I burn more calories than I take in. Tom, it's quiet. That's because that's it. There's nothing else to discuss. That's the end of it. If you want to lose weight, you don't drink this at 10 o'clock at night like I'm doing right now. Because you know what? I'm going to lose nothing. But I already know that. So I'm not going, hey, Albert, solve my mysterious weight gain problem. You don't have a mysterious weight gain problem. You eat candy and you eat junk and you don't burn it off and you don't exercise. Is it that big of a mystery? You eat more than you burn. So every day you get fatter. That's it. But instead, now what everybody's looking for is Ozempic, which, by the way, shuts down your digestive system. It's already been proven they're in a multi-billion dollar lawsuit as we speak. But don't worry, Albert's going to put out another version of Ozempic. Play it for me.
I think that this is something that will benefit American patients.
And you think this is the once-a-month shot that people really want?
I do think that this is the one-a-month shot that people want, and not only in GLP-1, but also in amylin, and even more important, the combination. And that's highly differentiated. I don't think the others, they have demonstrated something like that so far.
When you think about the long term, if we really do bend the obesity curve, what happens to the sale of drugs that treat the symptoms of obesity? Do they take a hit?
I don't know if they will take a hit or if they will be used in combination with this. But I think that the two will make a lot of these comorbidities go away.
And what's the timeline on that, do you think?
I think already we have a lot of studies on that. Our molecules probably will reach within 3 years the marketplace, and we are ready to compete.
It's just amazing because these people, they still have credibility to people. I mean, how do you have credibility when you're Albert Bourla? When you swore that your vaccine that he refused to take until he's called out on national TV for not taking it. Almost a year after it came out, he still refused to take it himself. It still has never taken it. We all know it's just taking saline shots. But anyway, how do you have credibility when number one, Pfizer has been sued and found criminally liable to the tune of billions, tens of billions of dollars for fraudulently representing their data, for bribing doctors to fraudulently represent their data, for bribing laboratories to fraudulently represent their data and fraudulently advertising the abilities of their various vaccines. I mean, criminally liable to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars. And people, they have credibility. They said the COVID vaccine would stop transmission infection. They never even tested to see if it would, but yet claimed that it would. And he has credibility where he is. And he's got is that Larry Kudlow? Or, I don't know which one that is. But anyway, the guy who's never right, the bearded guy. They're sitting there nodding their heads. Oh, yeah, this guy, he knows what he's talking
about. Kramer.
Kramer. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, Kudlow's actually a good guy. But anyway, so it's just amazing to me these people have credibility. Speaking of lack of credibility, look at these stats coming. This is what, I don't mean to be focusing on this, but I just can't help it. Because this was all the whole shutdown was, and I wish shutdown was still going. I wish we were on day 43 of the shutdown right now. But anyway, It was all about, you know, the Affordable Care Act and making sure that these subsidies were still paid. Subsidies to people? There's $120 billion, $120 billion, going into the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Does that go to a human being? I'm just curious. Does it? No, it goes to insurance companies. And then the insurance companies delve it out in a single-payer system. But where does this money actually go? Let's look. Wall Street Abe's video, insane new report on Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act shows the following statistics. Play it for me.
Looks like the fraud just continues to ramp up everywhere we turn. The administration just announced that six states have been stealing federal tax dollars in order to illegally give health care to illegal aliens. Over $1 billion stolen in just the past few months in six states. Individuals aren't doing much better. According to a recent report, 6.4 million people are fraudulently receiving Obamacare subsidies from you and me. 62% of Obamacare subsidy recipients don't even qualify. That lie is costing all of us over $27 billion a year, all while our insurance premiums just keep escalating. I'm over $30,000 a year now with a $10,000 deductible. Insurance companies don't care because they just keep getting richer and richer. How do you think all this ends?
Let's look at the stats on this. New report on the Barack Obama Affordable Care Act shows 6.4 million people are fraudulently receiving Obamacare subsidies that we know about. 62% of Obamacare subsidy recipients don't qualify for it. In other words, they make too much money to get subsidized insurance. Everybody knows how this works, right? It goes to these insurance companies and they allegedly pay for a portion of your insurance. So your insurance costs are partially paid for by the government. It's like we have 42 million people on SNAP benefits. But a lot of the people don't even qualify. They make too much money to have their insurance subsidized by the federal government, but yet they take it anyway because they're corrupt people. $27 billion a year. $1 billion they just found in six states in the last month were fraudulently using Obamacare from the state governments, by the way. State freaking governments. Federal freaking prison. Doesn't stop until people go to prison for it. $27 billion a year in fraud from Obamacare. A year that we know about. 500,000 to 800,000 undocumented are on ACA Obamacare plans via fraud, i.e. fake Social Security numbers, status lies, or during open enrollment. That's Paragon Health Institute is the source. 300,000 non-citizens, including undocumented and subsidized plan and pre-reforms from the CBO. Unbelievable. I mean, really. And this is what the shutdown was about, was making sure that these people are funded. Truly unreal. It really is. All right, let's look at this one. Vigilant Fox video report. Europe just made cash illegal. Play it for me.
So we've been warning forever about the fact that those in control of this entire world system are speed racing towards a completely cashless society. And that is, in fact, the final nail in the coffin when you marry this with digital ID, something that is also coming like a freight train to every single nation without exception in one form or another. Once a digital ID is in place and your only option is digital currency, because that's all the digital ID system will allow you to use, well, then those in power can restrict you from buying certain things like meat, ammunition, conducting private transactions, like even selling your old furniture for profit, maybe, even traveling beyond the allowable 1,500 kilometers every 3 years per person. That's the plan. So it seems Europe is the first place to formally legislate this kind of system. We want to take you through this particular post before we look at this article that corresponds with it. Cash dies in 847 days. Europe just legislated the end of financial freedom and nobody noticed. January 2027, every euro above 10,000 euros becomes illegal tender. Every Bitcoin needs government permission. Every transaction becomes a data point in Brussels' surveillance grid. It's not proposed, it's law. 340 million Europeans will wake up in a cage built from their own bank accounts. The kill shot, the EU anti-money laundering package, doesn't just track criminals, it treats every citizen as one. Starting in 2027, buying a car in cash becomes a crime. Sending 1,001 euros in Bitcoin without state approval triggers prosecution. Anonymous wallets vanish overnight. the digital euro arrives 2029. The European Central Bank spent 1.3 billion euros building what they call freedom, but leaked proposals cap holdings at 3,000 euros per person. Every purchase tracked, every patent analyzed, every dissent potentially bankable. Shanaka and Slam Pereira has written a corresponding article that we really want to take you through. It's called Europe's 2027 Financial Reset, the end of monetary privacy or the beginning of economic security. I think the answer is self-explanatory. A forensic analysis of how the European Union's radical new financial architecture will reshape global capital flows, citizen liberty, and the future of money itself. It says the European Union is executing the most comprehensive reconstruction of its monetary system since the euro's introduction in 1999. By 2027, a regulatory trinity, cash transaction caps, mandatory cryptocurrency surveillance, and a digital euro prototype will fundamentally alter how 340 million citizens interact with money. The stated objective is combating an estimated 700 billion euros in annual money laundering. Governments are the experts at money laundering, but anyway.
But don't worry, this is all for your financial safety. Don't worry, it's all for your financial safety. And it's always harken back to the Bible because the Bible is always right. For when they shall say peace and safety, that's what it's all about. We're just doing this for your safety so that you don't get taken advantage of. I'll roll the dice. Thank you very much. But that's what it, I mean, it's right out of the word. It's first Thessalonians chapter 5. 3 and 4, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, like travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as the thief. You should see this, that he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Revelation 13, 16, and 17. This is all about a single access to all commerce. That's it. I've told you this from the launch. This is why this podcast is here. This podcast is not for Trump. It's not for Republicans. It is for the Bible. We talk about a lot of other things, but it really is all about this because COVID is all about this. Climate change is all about this. CBDC is all about this. Social credit systems and social media are all about leveraging you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by people like Ursula von der Leyen and the Obamas. That's what it's all about. And they will say, it's all for your safety. Just like you're going to have facial ID or whatever, your some sort of ID to go on the internet before long because they're trying to protect children. You know what? You know who's supposed to protect children? Their parents. My kids, when they were juvenile, when they were under the age of 18, they weren't on the internet without me knowing about it. That's the way that it was. So it was my job as a parent to guard their heart. But anyway, so this is what this is all about. Nobody even knew. Look at this. Shanaka Aslim Pereira tweet, cash dies in 847 days. It's already voted in. Cash is gone. By the way, cash is already gone in Australia for all intents and purposes. It's already gone. But here's the interesting part about Australia is, and the same thing will be the European Union. They say that they have a biometric ID, which has all your credit on it, your passport, medical records, everything and everything, your mandatory vaccinations, your debit card, anything and everything is all in this biometric ID. But as I always say, Aaron, don't worry. It's voluntary.
Yep.
It's voluntary. But the problem is then there's no cash, which they're outlawing cash in Australia. So then you have to have a biometric ID to conduct business, buy, sell, trade, or travel. Therefore, you've been leveraged into a one world commerce system with a single access point. See it? That's what they're doing here. So that the rich get richer and they force you into compliance because you can't buy a movie ticket. You can't buy groceries. You can't buy a flight without their approval. And there will be rules. You can only travel 1,500 kilometers per year. Things like that. They just turn off your ability to fuel your car because it's electric and it's controlled by a power grid. And the only way to pay your bill is through a cashless society biometric ID. That'll eventually end up on your right hand or on your forehead. That's how it works. Causes all, both rich and poor, small and great, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. That's a quantum dot tattoo that, funny, Bill Gates is on and about developing right now in partnership with Gavi MasterCard. That's weird, isn't it? It's all coincidence, though. I mean, it's, and what's funny is most Christians, the COVID-caving, bent-over vaccine whores, they all think this is right-wing conspiracy theory, even though it's in the Bible that they allegedly observe. Weird, isn't it? And they just canceled cash right in front of the... I will bet you right now that I'm the only church talking about it. Buy me another one. Then we have a cashless society, which is very thoroughly explained in the book of Revelation, and nobody will talk about it. Because for most Christians, the Bible is right-wing conspiracy theory. Europe just legislated the end of financial freedom, and nobody noticed in 847 days. January 2027, 1 year from New Year's, every euro above 10,000 becomes illegal tender. Every Bitcoin needs government permission. Leverage you into a one world commerce system with a single access point controlled by them. Permission. I need permission to go buy something that's not approved. I need permission to buy things that are approved. Every transaction becomes a data point in Brussels' surveillance grid. Well, Brussels is doing it. Oh. Hey, Brussels, you know that. Did they not get bent over and conquered and just, you know, figuratively raped in every war? Every war. Because they're gutless, coward people. This is not proposed. This is law. 340 million Europeans will wake up in a cage built for their own bank accounts. Very simple. Starting January 27th of 2027, the countdown to end the financial freedom has begun. There you go. The EU's new anti-money laundering law. That's what it's called, anti-money laundering law. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It targets everyone. Buy a car in cash, and you're a suspect. Send $1,001 in Bitcoin without approval. People vote to have their financial transactions have to be approved by government. People actually vote to where they have to have their transactions approved by Big Brother. I can't believe it. But I guess I should believe it because this is what the Bible says is going to happen. But you and I are the great restraining, and we can buy decades. We may be able to buy a century if we fight and we resist and we do not comply peacefully. That's what we're supposed to do. All right, that's good. 10:20. All right, the rants tonight. Jules, 21 hours, $20. Thank you so much. Great, the great T1AU, $20. Thank you so much. Richard Perry, $49. $10. Thank you so much, Richard. Todd Suff, my friend, from church. Jules, also from church. I also met a great T1AU at church, too. $10 from Todd Suff. Hefner, $10. Thank you guys so much. If you do come to church, and I don't know who you are, make sure you come to the door and introduce yourself to me this Sunday if you're in the rant. You can always come to church, but come out. I'm always greeting everybody after church. Just wait in line for a couple minutes. I really do want to meet you. It's funny. I love meeting you guys when I find out who you are in Rumble. But I love you guys. 613 people on right now. Stick around for the post game. You will love it. Back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. As always, one last time, may God richly bless you and happy Veterans Day.